Our scriptures for today that I'm going to refer to in the sermon is from a couple from 1 Corinthians and then one from 1 Timothy. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 19. This is the Apostle Paul talking to the church in Corinth about eternity, actually, about eternal life. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. And then again in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54 and 57. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. The power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, who is a young pastor, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God. God, who desires all people to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So last sermon on Wednesday, we were reminded that we are not saved by knowing about Jesus as a historical figure. But we are saved by faith in Jesus as our Savior. Yet Jesus is not only our Savior, but that He lived a life as an example for us, and it was a life of full surrender. And He did it for us and for our salvation. And our response to His example of surrender is to also live a life of surrender. Surrender of ourselves to the temptations that we face, that we would surrender ourselves to His will and His ways, to His truth, His way, and His life, in our lives and to the rest of the world. This way, we know now what our standing is before God, and we don't have to wait until the last judgment when Jesus comes back. We can know our standing before God now. Which brings us to our next topic. Because we all face heaven or hell. Lengthy books and movies have been written and produced on this topic of heaven and hell. Yet for the most part, those are just speculation outside of God's word. To begin with, the Bible almost always describes heaven as a physical place that was completely free of the brokenness of this world that we experience here because of sin. Sin corrupted God's creation and brought suffering and death to this world as we know it. I love what the previous Lutheran speaker, Pastor Greg Seltz, says about heaven. He keeps it simple. He says that heaven is the Garden of Eden 2.0. To be in heaven is to live in paradise and enjoy all that God originally created. And God will again walk in the garden, and we will experience that complete fellowship with our Heavenly Father as Adam and Eve did before they disobeyed and fell into sin. The Bible makes it clear that it was sin that brought death into the world. Yet death is not the end of our existence in this life. And this is why Christians can confidently face the natural fear that humans have of death, and we can be at peace no matter what our circumstances are. Actually, for Christians, death is a change for the better. Actually, it's a change for the best. We have the hope of a future inheritance because we know about eternal life. And our eternity begins not when we die, but at the moment that we are conceived in our mother's womb. We are conceived, born, we live, and we die. And at the moment of our death, our soul enters either heaven or hell. And at the second coming of Jesus, all of us, all that have died and who are still living, will be raised and rejoined to our soul. And we will stand with the whole world before the judgment throne of God at that time. Whether we like it or not, that's the way it is, and there are no exceptions. So if heaven will be the Garden of Eden 2.0, what is hell going to be like? Again, according to Pastor Greg Seltz, I love how he keeps it simple. Hell is the opposite of heaven. If to live in heaven is to enjoy the constant presence of God, then hell is eternal separation from Him. Because of God's great love for His creation, He doesn't force Himself on anyone. And if people don't want to be with God in this life, then they won't want to be with Him in the afterlife either. But more specifically, if hell is the opposite of heaven, and God offers His love, His light, and living water to those who receive it, then life apart from Him in hell will only be hatred, darkness, and constant thirst. I mentioned in the beginning of the sermon that as Christians, death is change for the better. Therefore, we can embrace death as a relief from the pain and suffering of dying. You know, from the moment that you are born, you begin to die. Did you know that? Because of sin. Once Adam and Eve sinned, they started to die in their bodies. And so do we. Being conceived and born, we already start to die. And throughout our time on this earth, we experience pain. We experience suffering, and then eventually we're going to experience dying. Where again, if hell is the opposite of heaven, then those in hell will never get any relief. Instead, they will experience constant pain and suffering of dying, and they will experience it for eternity. Yet we still have questions about heaven, and we still have questions about hell. And I wanted to close with the top five or six about questions and answers about this topic. So, number one, will we know each other in heaven? Think about it. Will we know each other in heaven? Raise your hand if you think we will know each other in heaven. Okay, how many of you think we won't know each other in heaven? Raise your hand. And how many of you don't care? And how many of you are sleeping? You shouldn't be raising your hand if you're sleeping. Okay, to answer your question, yes, we will know each other in heaven. You won't only know the people that you've maybe known on earth or could recognize or acknowledge them, but you will know everybody in heaven as a brother and a sister in Christ. That is how you will know them. Everybody, you will know them. And therefore, it won't be by what they look like, will it? We won't recognize people by what they look like. Right? Because lots of studies say that we'll probably be in our 30s when we're in heaven. Okay? I don't know this for a fact, but that's kind of what it's speculated to be. Okay, but if we only know each other for certain years, how would we recognize each other, right? And if you go on and you kind of look at the studies of this, the reason we'll recognize each other, I don't know exactly. But we do know in the Bible, there's one instance specifically that I preached on a few weeks ago before Ash Wednesday, was where Peter, James, and John and Jesus were on the mountaintop, right? all of a sudden, two other people showed up. Who were they? Moses and Elijah. And the disciples knew who they were. Okay? They didn't have name tags on them. They knew them. Moses and Elijah knew them. They knew Jesus. Right? So they recognized each other. It's hard for us to understand, but that's just one little glimpse of that we will know each other. And on that note, will we be married? This is a bonus question. I talked about this a while ago, right? We won't be married in heaven anymore, right? Marriage is for earth. That means we won't be doing married things in heaven either, right? Marriage is for earth, okay? Number two, what about purgatory? So the 66 books of the Bible do not refer to purgatory. This is a Roman Catholic teaching that comes from what we would call an extra-biblical book of the Maccabees. You can Google that. It's M-A-C-C-A-B-E-E-S. You can Google that and read about that. You can actually read the book of Maccabees if you'd like to. But the Bible teaches that Jesus suffered all that was necessary for complete forgiveness. Therefore, through faith, which is our next topic next week, in Christ alone, there's no reason for us to suffer beyond our earthly death. Okay? So there's no reason to suffer beyond our earthly death. Unless you're going to heaven. In Luke chapter 23, Jesus has a conversation with a thief on the cross, where we see there is no place between heaven and hell either. There's no holding ground. Okay? We will either be with the Lord Jesus in heaven, or we will be separated away from him in heaven. Also, there's no scripture reference to praying for the dead or holding any kind of Christian service for the dead beyond burial. Number three, will animals be in heaven? What do you think? Remember, just think Garden of Eden 2.0. So were there animals in the Garden of Eden? This is an easy answer, isn't it? Then yes, of course, there will be animals in heaven. And we know the Bible says that heaven is a place where the lamb will lie down with the lion, and the lion will graze like an ox. So yes, there will be animals in heaven. Now, will there be my animal, Harley? Will he be in heaven? No. Even though he is a great dog, he still gets in the trash. He's a great dog, but these great pets are only for this world. When they die and go into the ground, that's game over for them. God didn't make them with a soul. Jesus didn't die for them on the cross, okay? Now, next one. Can people in heaven see us on earth? What do you think? Anybody think, yes, I can? A couple of you? Okay. Now, it's amazing, though. It's a very popular opinion that people can see us from heaven, which would mean that they can see us from hell, too, I suppose. No. And the reason for that is that there is no tears in heaven. The Bible is very clear about that. So do you think, like when someone calls you with bad news, do you ever grieve for them? Even cry for them? It won't be happening in heaven. There's no sadness. No grief. Grief and sadness is for this earth. And it all stems from sin. Grief and sadness comes from sin. And that's why we're all wearing clothing too, by the way. What will heaven be like? Remember before sin came in? Were Adam and Eve clothed before sin came into the world? No, and I know what you're thinking. If it's the Garden of Eden 2.0, will we need clothing? Not at all. Think about that one. So, no, people can't see us. Thank God for that. They don't have to see pain and suffering here on this earth anymore. I like Norma, call Norma out here this morning at St. Matthew. She says that we'll be too busy in heaven to even have thoughts about earth anymore. Which brings us to this last one, number five. Will we remember life on earth when we get to heaven? What do you think? Kind of goes along with the last one, don't we? We may remember some of it, but it won't be the sadness, will it? Okay? The Bible says there's no sorrow in heaven, so your memories that you may have will not create sadness. Therefore, we will be rejoicing with those who are in heaven and won't even come to mind with those who are not there. Maybe you've said this before, I'll be surprised if I see so-and-so in heaven. You ever thought that? We're all sinners, aren't we? Yeah. Or maybe they're like, I'll be surprised if I see you in heaven. Right? No, you will not get to heaven taking account, oh, Jack, Jill, where are you? You're not going to be looking around for him. You're not going to say, you made it! I don't believe it! That won't be happening. You won't be having those conversations or even those thoughts. All of your thoughts will be pure. And by the way, you will have 100% of your brain capacity. It'll be amazing. We'll be able to run forever. We'll have full capacity of our bodies, our blood systems, everything. No more disease, no more anything. Germs. We'll be like superheroes in heaven, seriously. Seriously. It's going to be an amazing place that you'll want to be, that God wants everyone to be there with him. And that's why we're here today, to be reminded about Jesus, that he is the only way, the only truth, the only life. Amen.